rise up and greet the sun. Actually, come to think of it, you probably don't even have to get out of bed, because this is the Mideast Migraines program. The weekend edition on Free Radio Santa Cruz, broadcasting at 101.3 on the FM dial and streaming online at freakradio.org. Click on the red oval or the listen link. And my name is Ren Tawil.
Bom, 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 bom
Two traditional Jewish folk songs, a la Theodore Bikel, from a 2013 Jasmine record label. Simply, Theodore Bikel sings a collection of Jewish folk songs. The two you heard were, you just finished listening to Azemer or Azemer, and we began the program with Lomir Alezingen. Lomir Alezingen. And of course, these are most likely all of them titled in the Yiddish language. Okay, my name is Ren Twill, your friendly local neighborhood Palestinian American here in Santa Cruz County, California. On the central left coast of North America, this show is brought to you by Free Radio Santa Cruz, streaming all over the planet at freakradio.org, freakradio.org, and broadcasting to the city of Santa Cruz here in California at 101.3 on the FM dial. Now, as I was talking about last time, I am pre-recording these programs at home on my personal computer, and have to pretty much lean in there so that you're picturing it in your mind right now, and that's perfectly accurate. I'm leaning with my mouth about six inches away from the keyboard because there's an embedded microphone in there somewhere. The great news is Free Radio Santa Cruz has finally acquired a home, albeit most likely a temporary home for its studio. We will be moving in sometime by the end of the coming week. We will start the process of moving in. Hard to say, though, when we'll begin actual broadcasting from this more professional broadcasting and transmitting environment. But the sound quality will be more expertly monitored and technically enhanced, so it won't sound like I'm doing the show from my own PC. So, and the ongoing apology here for the poor sound quality, I take it for granted that you pretty much have to turn up your volume. And even if you have your volume cranked up all the way, it might not be satisfactory. Keep in mind, this is a two-hour show, and it's not the easiest thing bending over your keyboard like this, like you see me doing right now. And no, we're not. We do not have webcam. You can see me in your mind. The Saturday edition of Mideast Migraines, at the moment, is dedicated to presenting an accurate, truthful rendition of the history of the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians and general goings-on in that region. I get this information from my own vetted sources. I pretty much know the quality of the people I get this information from, and occasionally from close friends of mine who are actually on location there, on site, and they're friends of mine. I can trust them, and I have a pretty good idea what they're talking about. I myself visited the Gaza Strip. That was 8 years ago. Indeed, it is high time that I went back to the land of my father once more. My dad was born in Jerusalem and ended up a displaced citizen as he was out of the country when the State of Israel was declared into being and the Israelis would not let him return to his home, property, or family, or any money that he had back then either. Free Radio Santa Cruz has its own Facebook page. Go to Free Radio Santa Cruz or Freak Radio on Facebook general program. Find our page, FB Facebook, and look closely for towards the top of the page for a recent updated general description of this program. This is the Mideast Migraines program, and I talk a bit about the nature of the program, including things that I've already told you about my dad and everything. And then in the comment section, read the first comment under that, any other comments that might appear, and you will get a synopsis for the reading of the upcoming radio show that I'm doing right now. You will find the synopsis for the show here. This is just to let you know, this is where you look. If you missed the last show, you can look on our Facebook page and find out what I'll be doing either on the next Saturday show, which comes to you every Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, or the this radio station's other scheduled time slot for Mideast Migraines, which is Mondays at 3 p.m., 3 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific Daylight Time. So we've got Saturday 11 a.m., Monday at 3 p.m. Keeping in mode here with what I was talking about, we are currently in the process of going through this booklet originally published by Jews for Justice in the Middle East. I do not even know if that group exists anymore, and I'm not familiar with their history or any associations they have. But Jews for Justice in the Middle East published this booklet. It is distributed today by If Americans Knew. Details for them can be found at ifamericansknew.org. And they're the ones who published it. It's called simply The Origin of the Palestine-Israel Conflict. Now, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of books with the same or a similar name, Origin of the Palestine-Israel or the Israel-Palestine Conflict. This one happens to be the third edition, it says here, including Intifada 2000. And you can be absolutely sure that some of them are more or less neutral in their editorial stance, in their view of the topic. Some of them are highly, highly pro-Israel, and others are very highly, highly pro-Palestine, in varying degrees and with varying caliber of believability. I'll tell you right now, this particular group of Jews for Justice in the Middle East are pro-truth, pro-peace, and pro the justice, kind of justice you have to have before you can have real peace. They're definitely pro-Palestine. I admit that. And by the way, this program on Free Radio Santa Cruz, Mideast Migraines, makes no pretense of being totally balanced and trying to be neutral. Obviously, since I'm the son of a Palestinian man and I'm born and bred here in California, the son of a Palestinian Arab man and a lily-white European woman, me and my three sisters, just saying that, I think you know what you're going to get. Just keep in mind, though, this is anything but mere propaganda. This is the narrative of events from the Middle East that most Americans are simply not used to hearing. Okay, now, we have already covered in this Booklet, Origin of the Palestine-Israel Conflict. Subsections, the early history of the region, going back to antiquity and up to the present day. The British Mandate period from 1920 to 1948, that's Britain's control of Palestine and Transjordan. What that was about, what was behind that. Section, the United Nations Partition of Palestine, Statehood and Expulsion, 1948. This, of course, includes the statehood, in particular, is talking about the statehood of the new nation of Israel and the expulsion of the native Palestinian Arabs. And we talked about the 1967 war and Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. New section, the history of terrorism in the Middle East, reading from the booklet. We believe that the killing of innocent people is wrong in all cases. Thus, we cannot condone the use of terrorism by some extreme Palestinian groups, especially prevalent during the 1970s. That being said, however, it is necessary to examine the context in which such incidents occur. And this book being, the whole pattern of the book is consists of making a statement or asking a question in the bold type here, and then the paragraph or paragraphs to follow answer that bold type question. So let us begin with that in mind. We hear lots about Palestinian terrorism. How about the Israeli record? And here's the response or answer. Quote, the record of Israeli terrorism goes back to the origins of the state, indeed long before, including the massacre of 250 civilians and brutal expulsion of 70,000 others from the cities of Lydda and Ramleh in Palestine in July 1948. It includes the massacre of hundreds of others at the undefended village of Doima near Hebron in October of 48. The slaughters in Kibyah, Kafr, Qasim, and a string of other assassinated villages. The expulsion of thousands of Bedouins from the demilitarized zones shortly after the 1948 war, and thousands more from northeastern Sinai in the early 1970s. Their villages destroyed to open the region for Jewish settlement, and on, end quote. Now that answer provided by Noam Chomsky, he is quoting from the book Blaming the Victims, editors Edward Said and Hitchens. I do not know Hitchens' first name. So again, we have a statement or question, and that is followed by a quoted, always quotation so far in this book, and then they give the source of that quotation at the end. Said and Hitchens from Blaming the Victims by way of Jewish American professor Noam Chomsky. Very good, let's continue. More on the question of Israeli terrorism versus Palestinian terrorism. Quote, however much one laments and even wishes somehow to atone for the loss of life and suffering visited upon innocents because of Palestinian violence, there is still the need, I think, also to say that no national movement has been so unfairly penalized, defamed, and subjected to disproportionate retaliation for its sins as has the Palestinian. The Israeli policy of punitive counterattacks, also known as state terrorism, seems to be to try to kill anywhere from 50 to 100 Arabs for every Jewish fatality. The devastation of Lebanese refugee camps, hospitals, schools, mosques, churches, and orphanages. The summary arrests, deportations, house destructions, maimings and torture of Palestinians on the West Bank and Gaza. These and the number of Palestinian fatalities, the scale of material loss, the physical, political, and psychological deprivations have tremendously exceeded the damage done by Palestinians to Israelis. End quote. Edward Said, The Question of Palestine, from his book, The Question of Palestine. The U.S. government and media bias on terrorism in the Middle East, on that topic. This is also a statement from Edward Said in the Progressive, I presume they mean Progressive Mag, the Progressive Magazine, May 30, 1996. Quote, It is simply extraordinary and without precedent that Israel's history, its record, from the fact that it is a state built on conquest, that it has invaded surrounding countries, bombed and destroyed at will, to the fact that it currently occupies Lebanese, Syrian, and Palestinian territory against international law, is simply never cited, never subjected to scrutiny in the U.S. media or in official discourse, never addressed as playing any role at all in provoking, quote, Islamic terror. Close subquote, close quote. Again, said by Edward Said, the Progressive. This most likely was written in the 1980s, when Israel was indeed militarily active in southern Lebanon, all the way up to at least as far as Beirut, its capital, about in the middle of that country, Lebanon, and to this day, obviously, continues to hold Palestinian territory and a small piece of Syria, namely the Golan Heights. All right, now that's all that we have on that section, The History of Terrorism in the Region, from this particular pamphlet. We're going to move on to a truly fascinating subject. I'm sure you will agree. This is called Jewish Criticism of Zionism. That's right, Jewish Criticism of Zionism. Very brief definition. What is Zionism? Zionism is a political philosophy. It is not a theological philosophy. It was begun in earnest as a secular activity among European Jews for the purpose of establishing a homeland for the world's Jews in Palestine. And there was some argument to begin with whether or not it needed to be in Palestine, which is the historic home of the Jewish people, that and Egypt. Or if it should be somewhere else, like, for example, Uganda in Africa. That suggestion was actually made at one point. So that essentially is Zionism. It is a political movement, political philosophy, not a religious philosophy, although Zionism has been hijacked by many Jews as being intrinsic, being totally connected to the fulfillment of the desire of some Jews to, once again, as they will put it, redeem the land of Israel by moving all the world's Jews into it. That's Zionism, as opposed to Judaism, which is a distinct, I repeat, a distinct activity of religion and spirituality, which is not intrinsically connected to Zionism. Okay, here's the section. Jewish Criticism of Zionism. Here's several paragraphs from Sami Hadawi from his Bitter Harvest. Albert Einstein, a quotation from Albert Einstein, I should much rather see reasonable agreement with the Arabs on the basis of living together in peace than the creation of a Jewish state. Apart from practical considerations, my awareness of the essential nature of Judaism resists the idea of a Jewish state with borders, an army, and a measure of temporal power, no matter how modest. I am afraid of the inner damage Judaism will sustain. And that's the end of the Albert Einstein quote. Continuing with Sami Hadawi's piece here. Professor Eric Fromm, a noted Jewish writer and thinker, said the following. In general, international law, the principle... I'm sorry, in general international law, the principle holds true that no citizen loses his property or his rights of citizenship. And the citizenship right is de facto a right to which the Arabs in Israel have much more legitimacy than the Jews. Just because the Arabs fled? Since when is that punishable by confiscation of property and by being barred from returning to the land on which a people's forefathers have lived for generations? Thus, the claim of the Jews to the land of Israel cannot be a realistic claim. If all nations would suddenly claim territory in which their forefathers had lived 2,000 years ago, this world would be a madhouse. I believe that, politically speaking, there is only one solution for Israel, namely, the unilateral acknowledgement of the obligation of the state towards the Arabs, not to use it as a bargaining point, but to acknowledge the complete moral obligation of the Israeli state to its former inhabitants of Palestine. The end of that quotation from Eric Fromm. I'm gonna break in here. I'm not sure if it was Fromm from whom I heard this or someone else, but if it was another writer, the sentiment is essentially the same. At one point it says here, Fromm stated, if all nations would suddenly claim territory in which their forefathers had lived 2,000 years ago, this world would be a madhouse. Very good. Okay. So we've got Sami Haddawi here is including in his book a series of quotations from other people, at least from what I see here. Martin Buber said the following, only an internal revolution can have the power to heal our people of the murderous sickness of causeless hatred. It is bound to bring complete ruin upon us. Only then will the young and old in our land realize how great was our responsibility to those miserable Arab refugees in whose towns we have settled Jews who were brought from afar, whose homes we have inherited, whose fields we now sow and harvest, the fruits of whose gardens, orchards, and vineyards we gather, and in those cities that we robbed, we put up houses of education, charity, and prayer, while we babble and rave about being the, quote, people of the book, and the, quote, light of the nations, close general quote. And Haddawi ends with this paragraph. In an article published in the Washington Post of 3 October 1978, Rabbi Hirsch of Jerusalem is reported to have declared, here's Rabbi Hirsch's statement, the 12th principle of our faith, I believe, is that the Messiah will gather the Jewish exiled who redisperse throughout the nations of the world. Zionism is diametrically opposed to Judaism. Zionism is diametrically opposed to Judaism. Zionism wishes to define the Jewish people as a nationalistic entity. The Zionists say, in effect, look here, God, we do not like exile. Take us back, and if you don't, we'll just roll up our sleeves and take ourselves back. And then the rabbi continues, this, of course, is heresy. The Jewish people are charged by divine oath not to force themselves back to the Holy Land against the wishes of those residing there. Close quote. See, folks, if anyone before the emergence of the Palestine, or I should say the reemergence of the Palestine national movement primarily in the 1960s, if anyone ever talked about Zionism as being the wrong course for the Jews, and they weren't talking about the Palestinians, they were talking about Orthodox fundamentalist Jews and rabbis. And what this particular rabbi, Rabbi Hirsch, is talking about is this 12th principle. I don't know what other large document it's referring to, where the belief is that the Messiah himself will gather the Jews exiled, redispersed throughout the nations of the world. In other words, in a sense, Zionism, or the re-collectivization, if you will, the re-establishment of the Jewish world was supposed to be performed by the Messiah. That would be an article of Judaism itself, of the Jewish faith, not political Zionism. Okay, we're still talking about Jewish criticism of Zionism. A new question here. Martin Buber on what Zionism should have been. The first fact is that all the time when we entered into an alliance, And then parenthetically, an alliance I admit, that is not well defined, with a European state, and we provided that state with the claim to rule over Palestine, we made no attempt to reach an agreement with the Arabs of this land regarding the basis and conditions for the continuation of Jewish settlement. This negative approach caused those Arabs who thought about and were concerned about the future of their people to see us increasingly not as a group which desired to live in cooperation with their people, but as something in the nature of uninvited guests and agents of foreign interests. And in parentheses, at the time, I explicitly pointed out this fact. Martin Buber goes on, the second fact is that we took hold of the key economic positions in the country without compensating the Arab population. That is to say, without allowing their capital and their labor a share in our economic activity. Paying the large landowners for purchases made or paying compensation to tenants of the land is not the same as compensating a people. As a result, many of the more thoughtful Arabs viewed the advance of Jewish settlement as a kind of plot designed to dispossess future generations of their people, the Arab people of the land, necessary for their existence and development. Only by means of a comprehensive and vigorous economic policy aimed at organizing and developing common interest would it have been possible to contend with this view and its inevitable consequences. This we did not do. The third fact is that when a possibility arose that the mandate would soon be terminated, not only did we not propose to the Arab population of the country that a joint Jewish-Arab administration be set up in its place, we went ahead and demanded rule over the whole country. This was the Biltmore Program, as Buber references here, the Biltmore Program, as a fitting political sequel to the gains we had already made. By this step, we with our own hands provided our enemies in the Arab camp with aid and comfort of the most valuable sort, the support of public opinion, without which the military attack launched against us would not have been possible. For it now appears to the Arab populace that in carrying on the activities we have been engaged in for years, in acquiring land and in working and developing the land, we were systematically laying the groundwork for containing control of the whole country, close quote. Again, this from Martin Buber, or Buber, quoted in A Land of Two Peoples, editors Mendes and Floor. Again, this is the general topic of the Jewish criticism of Zionism. So you're hearing exclusively from some Jewish people here. And whenever a person who is staunchly pro-Israel and pro-Zionism hears these words from the mouths of a Jew, their knee-jerk reaction is almost invariably, there is a self-hating Jew. They say this because they have no other intelligent analysis of what that person is saying or where that person is coming from. If you can dismiss someone, a critic of Israel no less, as a self-hating Jew, that's kind of like a wild card that says, nobody has to listen to this person. That's the total extent of the vetting process for them. They hate themselves and they hate their own Judaism. Whether this is the case or not, offhand from quotes that I've read from so many Jews who criticize Israel, I would say very few, if any of them, are afflicted with self-hatred. Okay, let's go on here. That was my little analysis. That paragraph is my talking. Now, Mendes Floor. New question. Israel's new historians now refute myths of the founding of the state. This is an extended comment on that statement from Israeli-born Jewish historian Ilan Pape in The Link. which was published by Americans for Middle East Understanding, New York, New York, in 1998. Okay, Ilan Pape's words addressing the question or the statement, Israel's new historians now refute myths of the founding of the state. Quote, since the 1980s, Israeli scholars have concurred with their Palestinian counterparts that Zionism was carried out as a pure colonialist act against the local population, a mix of exploitation and expropriation. They were motivated to present a revisionist point of view to a large extent by the declassification of relevant archival material in Israel, Britain, and the United States. Let me point that out in case you fell asleep there. These Israeli scholars were motivated to present a revisionist point of view of the history of modern Israel to a large extent by the declassification of relevant archival material in Israel, Great Britain, and in the United States. And then Pape provides several examples here. Challenging the myth of annihilation. The new historiographical picture is a fundamental challenge to the official history that says that the Jewish community faced possible annihilation on the eve of the 1948 war, on the beginning of the 1948 war. Archival documents expose a fragmented Arab world wrought by dismay and confusion, and a Palestinian community that possessed no military ability with which to frighten the Jews. Here's another point of contention here that Ilan Pape addresses. Israel's responsibility for the refugees. The Jewish military advantage was translated into an act of mass expulsion of more than half of the Palestinian population. The Israeli forces, apart from rare exceptions, expelled the Palestinians from every village and town they occupied. In some cases, this expulsion was accompanied by massacres of civilians, as was the case in Lida, Ramle, Dawamiya, Sasa, Ain Zaytun, and other places. Expulsion also was accompanied by rape, looting, and confiscation of Palestinian land and property. Pape addresses here the myth of Arab intransigence. The myth of Arab intransigence. The United Nations convened a peace conference in Lausanne, Switzerland, in the spring of 1949. Before the conference, the UN General Assembly adopted a resolution that, in effect, replaced the November 1947 partition resolution. This new resolution, Resolution 194 of December 11, 1948, accepted UN mediator Bernadotte's triangular basis for a comprehensive peace, namely an unconditional return of all the refugees to their homes, the internationalization of Jerusalem, which, by the way, I will point out was also stipulated in the 1947 partition plan, continuing, and the partitioning of Palestine into two states. This time, several Arab states and various representatives of the Palestinians accepted this as the basis for negotiations, as did the United States, which was running the show at Lausanne. Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion of Israel strongly opposed any peace negotiations along these lines. The only reason he was willing to allow Israel to participate in the peace conference was his fear of an angry American reaction. The road to peace was not taken due to Israeli. The road to peace was not taken due to Israeli, not Arab, intransigence. It was due to Israeli intransigence. And here Pape has a sentence or two on his conclusions from all that. The new Israeli historians wish to rectify what their research reveals as past evils. There was a high price exacted in creating a Jewish state in Palestine, and there were victims, the plight of whom still fuels the fire of conflict in Palestine. Close quote. Ilan Pape, writing in The Link, published by Americans for Middle East Understanding, New York, New York, January to March, 1998. 1998. at the close of the previous century, on the eve of the close of the previous century. Okay, a couple more pieces here on the topic of Jewish criticism of Zionism. Quote, "It is no longer my country." That's kind of the title. Now the response, "For me, this business called the State of Israel is finished. I can't bear to see it anymore. The injustice that is done to the Arabs, to the Bedouins, all kinds of scum coming from America, and as soon as they get off the plane, taking over lands in the territories and claiming them for their own, I can't do anything to change it." Here he's actually referring to Jews flying into America, who he calls scum. Continuing, "I can't do anything to change it. I can only go away and let the whole lot go to hell without me." Close quote. Israeli actress, and this is her household name, Rivka Machielli, quoted in the Israeli peace movement periodical, The Other Israel, August 1998. Folks, I'm going to read that again. If that makes you roll your eyes, just hang in there. Bear with me. "For me, this business called the State of Israel is finished. I can't bear to see it anymore. The injustice that is done to the Arabs, to the Bedouins, all kinds of scum coming from America, and as soon as they got off the plane, taking over lands in the territories and claiming them for their own, I can't do anything to change it. I can only go away and let the whole world, let the whole lot go to hell without me." I'd never read that before. I'd never seen that before. Finally, the effect of Zionism on American Jews. This from Alan Brownfield, Issues of the American Council for Judaism. The effect of Zionism on American Jews. The corruption of Judaism as a religion of universal values through its politicization of by Zionism and by the replacement of dedication to Israel for dedication to God and the moral law is what has alienated so many young Americans who, searching for spiritual meaning in life, have found little in the organized Jewish community, close quote. Alan Brownfield, Issues of the American Council for Judaism, Spring 1997. Okay, now the time is just about 11:45 in the morning, this Saturday, May the 21st in 2016. This is a pre-recorded broadcast, a pre-recorded program, which is due for broadcast on Saturday the 21st. And let's go ahead and get into... There are still many pages to go into in this pamphlet. But before we go to music, oh, what the hell. Let's have a little bit of... Let's have some more Theodore Bikel. Yes, indeedy.
also gesunden Leben, selbst der Tester will mir den Neues geben, will ich tanzen mir hopp hopp hopp, aropan auf und go. Will ich tanzen, neu will ich tanzen, aropan auf und go. Spielt neues Morim, spielt mit Leben, selbst der Tester will heim teus gegeben, noch geblieben uns Mädler zwei, wo halten schon weise. Spielt euch morgen, nehmt euch ein, soll die ganze Welt mit uns sich freien. Unser Simche weiß nur ein Gott und der was besser hat. Oh, unser Simche weiß nur ein Gott und der was besser hat. Wenn wir sehen schon das zweite Mädel, von Geton in weißem Kuppekleidel, will ich trinken und freilich sein, arot und harza stein. Will ich trinken, oi will ich trinken, arot und harza stein. Spielt les morgen, hecht und schneiden, zweite Mädel gib mir euch in Frieden, dass wir singen noch auf mir, du halt mich schon bei ihm. Spielt les morgen, par uns macht on ihm, soll na leben ton euch die Kapzon ihm, a kind euch geben, oi Gott in you, a Mädel noch dazu. A kind euch geben, oi Gott in you, a Mädel noch dazu. Wenn beim letzten Fall spielen Herren, will ich etwas treurig stehen und klären. Das letzte Tester und schon euch weg, was noch ist dort der Zweck. Letzte Techterl, ois letzte Techterl, was noch ist da der Zweck. Spielt euch morgen, versetzt mich alle, zugenommen uns die Kinder alle, schwer gewähnt uns die Techter drei, euch schwerer noch von selbst. Spielt euch morgen, aroch uns trären, das letzte Bettel wird ein Kleidig werden. Ganze Stiefel, ihr Kleider schank, oi Baby, tust du bang. Letzte Stiefel, ihr Kleider schank, oi Baby, tust du bang. Heiere Malki, gesund sollst du sein, fiel mir an den Becher mit Wein. Ba, 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 von dem dolzigen Becher, was glanzt da so schön, hat getrunken mein Seide, alle Wein. Oi, Teigere, Malki, gesund sollst du sein, vor wem soll ich trinken, den dosigen Wein. Ba mir trinken alle Chaim vor dem Bitt allein, was mutschet sich und weint gar nicht mehr wie ich. Thank you.
wenn ich gegangen bin, läuft ewiger weg.
Schlepp sie unentschlecht, wer so fliegt, fliegt auch heute zu, ist
La 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 la, a holland is far gone.